This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hour number two of the program with Joel Nelson behind the glass, Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock today at 412-928-9370. Want to remind you about our fan text line. You can hit it up anytime. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And tune in to the Number One Cochrane Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 on KDKA. Also, PNC Bank, Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, all good people, all supporting our program. We hope that you support them. 412-928-9370. Kickoff is about to take place at Happy Valley. Sellout crowd, of course. A lot of people there watching this one. Number three versus number four. Penn State is a home underdog to Ohio State in a very important game for both of these teams. If Penn State should win, according to all of these advanced tech metric outlets, 97% chance of making the college football playoff. If they should lose, it drops to 76%. So this is a game that Ohio State really needs to win, too. If they get to a second loss, it could be difficult for them navigating that road, depending on what happens down the road. Pitt and SMU later tonight. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan coverage begins at 5 with our Pitt Panther preview, followed by 2 hours of network broadcasting up until kickoff. Pitt is a 7-point underdog at SMU. 412-928-9370. We've covered a lot of ground. Let's cover more. Let's go to Tom in Oakmont, who's first up in this hour. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Bob. Thanks a lot, bud. Remember Reagan used to say, there you go again. And the Pirates desperately need one big bat, one big first baseman or outfielder, and they're throwing around these big names again, and these guys have no history of picking these guys up. They always get these retreads. So, Nutting, come on and stop being a bottom feeder and pick one of these big guys up.
Well, and until they do, there's no reason to believe anything that comes out.
Right.
It's the same old thing until they change it. And
same old, same old.
You can talk about whatever you want, Tom, but all I know is that the two teams with the highest payrolls or two among the top five payrolls were in the World Series, and that doesn't mean they're going to win. Ask the Yankees. They didn't. What it does mean is that you'll be in the mix, and that's all you're trying to buy, an opportunity in the mix, and the Pirates should spend more, but they won't. But thanks, Tom. We have a lot of time to talk about that. Appreciate it. Let's go to Guy in the state of California. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Listen, I appreciate the hockey passion I'm hearing. I want to ask you about a futures Penguins bet I have. But before I do, I'll dissent from everyone that I've been hearing. You know, it starts with defense, absolutely. But you have to stop blaming the goalies, for goodness sakes. You know, I watched the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. They were playing against Calgary. There was a 20-minute span when Vegas was playing Calgary, where Calgary only got one or two shots on goal. And, you know, when the opposing team comes into the Vegas zone, it's like they're going into quicksand. But when they come into the Pens' defense zone, it's like the defensemen are tour guides.
You know, Guy, there's no question. Let me just stop you there and just say there is no question that their defense has contributed to this. But in the case of Tristan Jarre, you've watched his work. He's let in goals that have been backbreakers at critical times, and they're not the result of defensive malfunctions. It's mostly the result of being soft goals.
Well, I'll defer to you on that. But let me ask you about my futures bet on the Penguin season. It's I'm over on the Penguin season's 87.5 points, minus 120. And my thinking was, you know, back the 21-22 season, Penn's 103 points. 22-23 season, 91, and last year was 88. Hopefully I'm not seeing a bad trend, but what do you think of that bet?
What was the number again? On
87.5.
It's almost like last year. That would be hard for me to bet that. You already did, right? You took the over?
Right, I already did. I'm,
all right.
It's going to keep my interest in the season in case it goes south again.
That may be the wrong reason to bet, though, to keep your interest in the season. I would say right now it's going to go under. I say that because I have too much respect for all these teams in the Eastern Conference. And they've dug themselves an early season hole, which I thought they couldn't afford. You can argue it's only 11 games, fine. But it is 1/8 of the season. And now it puts an emphasis on the final 7/8 of the season to be much better than I think maybe we thought they could be. So I would think they're going to probably be less than that. Although I'm hoping for your sake they not only do it, but get into the playoffs so we can have another discussion. And then maybe you can make your money back if you don't get there.
Thanks again, Bob.
All right, guys. Thanks. 412-928-9370. The Penguins have the Montreal Canadiens, a young team that's up and coming, I think. You know, again, you look at Eastern Conference with in their own division. I mean, the Rangers won again last night. They're off to a tremendous start. I think Carolina, just look at it this way. When the Penguins have played good teams this year, what has happened? The opening night, they got routed by the New York Rangers, right? Carolina comes to PPG Paints Arena and essentially just takes control of the game. When they've gone out west to face playoff teams like Edmonton, like Vancouver, like Calgary, I'll throw them in the mix. All of these teams, they did not look good at all. We're racetracked around by Edmonton, throwing 90 shots on goal. I can include Minnesota in that. They were home the other night, and Minnesota had too many good chances. They lost. So every time they've played one of these kinds of teams, they've not looked good in the process. That has to start changing, and it starts with them just being efficient fundamentally defensively. If they do that and making things a little easier on their goaltender and their defense, I think their offense has enough to win some games. But they got to do that. 412-928-9370. Opening kickoff. Penn State has the ball first. I'll keep you abreast of this game as it's going on. Ohio State comes in as a 3.5-point favorite in this game. And Drew Aller is, in fact, starting. 17-3 record. He has 49 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in his career. And they need him to be at his very best against a very good Ohio State defense in this game. So, again, just starting later tonight, SMU and Pitt. You'll hear that game right here on your home of Pitt Panther Sports. That's 93.7 The Fan. In the meantime, the Steelers have reached the halfway point of their seasons. I haven't had any calls. People want to talk about what do you expect. What do I expect from this second half of the season? I expect some turbulence. I expect the Ravens. Now, think about the Ravens last week. Yeah, they lost at Cleveland, and their two losses have been the Raiders at home and Cleveland in Cleveland. The Raiders at the time still had Devontae Adams, and he was a big part of that team and had a big say in what happened. But the Browns seem to be a little bit better, even though Jameis Winston can be very erratic and throw as many interceptions as touchdowns. But they seem to be more of a team. They got Chubb back. They've got a defense that's still pretty good. Still, Baltimore should have won the game. Kyle Hamilton had a sure interception that he dropped, and it would have just sealed the whole thing. They would have won, and they would have been like the Steelers at 6-2. Instead, they dropped it very next play. I have my doubts about the Ravens defense. I do. I think they can be had down the field, and they have injuries that contribute to that. But I also think their offense is good enough to overcome just about all of it. Lamar Jackson right now with 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards. He's going to rush for 1,000. And he could very well be an MVP for the third time. You add Derrick Henry to that, and now you can say what you want about Deontay Johnson. But Deontay Johnson is a guy who can add to what is, I think, a decent wide receiving core. If you look at his numbers at Carolina, they were very good considering what kind of team he was on. 37 catches. He had 3 touchdowns. Okay, they'll take that in Baltimore. And I think he would be challenged not to do his best against the Steelers when they meet twice coming up here. You know it's going to be a tough second half of the season. Hard Knocks is over at the Steeler parking lot area taking over. Now they're doing all of the AFC North. That should be wild how that goes, and there are going to be a lot of, I would think, bulletin board material being swapped back and forth, maybe unintentionally, but it will get done, and that will be interesting. But the second half of the season with 6 division games, The Steelers went 5-1 in the division last year. If they can do that again, they're going to win the division. I don't think they can do that again. I think Joe Burrow still poses a problem. So they're going to lose their share of games. The question is, can they be in a situation where they get a home playoff game? To me, that is the goal. Number one seed, you can fantasize if you want about that, but realistically, I don't think that's going to happen given what their schedule says. They are certainly, to me, a playoff team, but it would be helpful if they got a playoff game at home and do something they haven't done in a while, win a home playoff game specifically, and not be out of it by halftime. So to me, that's going to be the goal. I think it's attainable. We'll see how it goes, but I think this offense is good enough to secure the ball, score enough points where this defense will continue to be at a very high level. 412-928-9370. We'll take a break. Phone lines are open until 1 o'clock. Love to talk to you about the Penguins, about Pitt SMU, about this Ohio State-Penn State game. And Penn State on their first drive now is facing a 3rd-and-1. And they have really no success against Ohio State on third down. Last year, 1-for-15 in that game in third down situations. They have to be better on third down. So we'll keep it here, Joel, until they run this play. With Drew Aller now in the shotgun formation, 3rd-and-1 at their own 48-yard line. He is going to take off, scramble, and get the first down, so Penn State goes into Ohio State territory for the very first time this day. We'll be back with more. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Pompeiani with you till 1 o'clock. Call 412-928-9370. If you're driving around Penn State, drove methodically down the field, and now a penalty set him back. Drew Aller, who's run the ball more than I thought, given the fact he had a knee injury, overthrows his intended receiver, so it's 4th down, and that means Ryan Barker on to attempt a field goal. He's been perfect so far this season, 6-for-6, and this will be a 29-yard attempt to at least get Penn State on the board. What was promising looked like a touchdown drive. They were inside the 10-yard line. Then a penalty held them up. Barker is good. And that makes it 3-0 Penn State. And that's where we are. So if you want to comment about that, if you're Ohio State, that's a positive outcome given what the first drive looked like. And if you're a Penn State fan, you know that you're going to have to score more than just field goals, although they do have an early 3-0 lead. We've yet to see Will Howard and the Ohio State offense. We will shortly. In the meantime, what about Pitt? Can their offense get back on track? They need to get back on track. There's no question about that, because they haven't scored a lot of points in the last several games themselves. The defense has done most of the heavy lifting in the win against Cal and certainly in the win against Syracuse. Matt joins us right now in Connecticut. Hello, Matt. How are you? Matt, are you there? Well, I see he's on the line here, Joe, but I don't know if he's if he walked away from his cell phone, whatever. One last chance, Matt, and then we're going to hang up on you, and you can try again. All right, for some reason, Matt's not there. But he wanted to talk about Pitt football. All I can tell you is that Pitt is going to face a team tonight in SMU that is a big-time, spreader of offense. They like to move things, rely on speed. Although their wide receiver, who was their, I think, their second-best guy, Jake Bailey, he is out for this game. That was determined this morning. Saw a tweet on that from national people who follow this SMU program that he will not play. Their quarterback, Kevin Jennings, is questionable, and, he's won 5 straight starts since he's been inserted into that lineup. Randy Bates' defense has really come on strong. If you look at the first 5 games of their season, 12 sacks total. That was it. They've had 10 sacks in the last 2 games. And as far as interceptions are concerned, well, they last week, I don't even know what the number would have been on Kyle McCord and interception over and under numbers, but 5? Nobody would have thought that, and 3 of them returned for touchdowns. Pitt defense was outstanding. They were really good about coverage situations. They confused, I think, McCord with they had linebackers go to the line of scrimmage and drop back. He expected pressure from that side. He got it from another, wasn't aware of it. And that's how you create turnovers that make a big difference in the outcome of games. So Pitt took care of Syracuse in a game that I thought was way more one-sided than it could ever be. But that's a good sign for the Panthers. They needed one of those kinds of games. And now they have SMU today, and that will follow with Virginia and then Clemson. Clemson has a game against Louisville today at home, and that may be a trick for them. They're 10-point favorites, but Louisville has the talent to go on the road and win. We'll see if they can pull that off. The other interesting one is Miami, a 3-touchdown favorite at home to Duke. And Duke last week should have beaten SMU. SMU had 6 turnovers in that game and somehow survived. Not only survived, they won the game. Only one other team in the last century has done that, making 6 turnovers and winning a game. SMU is number 2. Dave in Johnstown is on the air right now here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Dave.
Morning, Bob. Or good afternoon. I'm sorry.
Oh, good night. It doesn't matter. I'm in the same boat you are. I don't even know what day it is anymore. But what, this is what happens. We're in football season.
Right. Hey, about the Pitt game this evening. So, you know, two things that I think one of the keys, and you're talking about Pitt's offense, and, you know, they've been a little lackluster the past couple of games. And really, but it's been a theme, at least from what I've noticed all year. They don't seem to be getting Bartholomew involved in the play as much as when Pickett was quarterback. I don't know if you remember, or even Keenan Slovis. Back when we had the Tennessee home-and-home series, Bartholomew was huge in both those
games. Yeah, and he should be in a game like tonight, I would think, for sure.
I would think. I think the guy is a huge weapon. I know he's doing really well as far as his blocking and his capacity of being a good teammate and doing things of that nature. But I think the guy can be a playmaker by getting him the ball, looking for him, you know, in the middle of the field. He's a big body guy, and I think he could probably screen off defenders, especially if they can get him with a safety. And the second point I wanted to make was, as far as tonight's game, Pitt's defensive line has just been incredible these past couple of games. And I think if Pitt's able to win tonight, they're going to be the one of the main reasons why they win. I know that they still need some offensive production, but the defensive line, and I mean the secondary as well, as far as taking away the ball. But I know the linebackers have played a big part in the interceptions as well. But Pitt's defensive line, especially with an injured quarterback, can really make life difficult for SMU tonight. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I think the key will be the defensive line.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about it. Just defense in general. I mean, they're going to have to go down there and make this. And this is going to be a tough place for them to play. They've never played down there. But if you've watched some of their games, you know, they can bring it. And their fans get into it. And this is an opportunity. I don't think SMU thought they'd be in at this juncture of the season. So all of that will make it difficult, I think, for Pitt. But the way Pitt does this offensively, I still think, is Desmond Reed is a big part of it. But what you mentioned at tight end, they need to exploit those. I think their defense, SMU, can give up yards to tight ends over the middle of the field. They've been very leaky, and at least if you look at the metrics.
I think Pitt would have the opportunity on both sides of the ball to out-physical SMU. I think that's one of the strengths that Pitt has going for him in this game.
All right, Dave, thanks. So you're looking for Pitt win, and if they should, they'll be sitting pretty with regard to a possible at-large bid if they don't win the ACC outright, which many people don't think will happen. But, boy, this has been a team that has overcome a lot of the adversity and the odds that many people have put on them. Matt joins us in Connecticut, this time hopefully with a good cell connection. Hey, Matt.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Awesome, man, awesome. Yeah, so, man, as a Pitt fan that's been burned 100 times over the years, whether it's the basketball team, the football team, I love Pitt, man. I love seeing them undefeated. I can see them going out maybe beating Clemson and SMU, but every time they're poised for victory, poised to go on this long run, there's always those games that they're expected to win, and they just can't overcome those wins. You know, they just can't achieve it. So,
well, but they've also had a couple of games this year. You should be, as a Pitt fan, encouraged that they didn't lose when they looked like they would. The one at Cincinnati was a loss in the making, and somehow they came back and won that game. And the West Virginia game here, I thought West Virginia was going to win that game, and they didn't.
Yep, solid point, solid point. So I'm excited. I hope they win tonight, though, man. I really do.
I think they need to. And if they do, they're in pretty good shape. If they lose this game, all of a sudden now the chances of a playoff would diminish, in my view. They would have to run the table and win the ACC, get one of those, automatic berths as opposed to an at-large. At-larges are going to be tough to come by if you look at the way this is set up right now. That doesn't mean they can't, yeah, but they need some help along the way.
The most ideal situation is Pitt wins and Penn State loses. That's the best situation.
Yeah, and then Penn State can afford a loss. They still, I think I saw the number 76% chance of making the college football playoff with a loss, but 97% if they win. So that's a pretty big.
I just wish they'd lose 97% of their games.
I'm sure people at Penn State feel the same about Pitt. That's why they need to play every day. You know, every time they schedule this stuff, I hear these people from Penn State and a couple of people on Twitter. In fact, I go find it. They say, well, you know what, Bob? Guess what? They don't need Pitt. Well, yes, you do. In terms of local rivalries, if you think you don't need Pitt, that's because you think you can beat Pitt. And so why wouldn't you want them? You schedule a lot of non-conference games against teams like Bowling Green. Every team does. But if you do that, then you would love to have Pitt on your schedule because you believe you could beat them every year. So schedule them. What's the harm in that?
Yep. I don't know, man. I thought it would be great for the city and towns and the state, just bringing in all that revenue and reviving that rivalry. But, you know, they brought it back, and then they got rid of it again. And I heard it was Jopa. He was the reason. So.
Yeah, well, I've heard a lot of speculation about that. But whatever it is, it continues, and that's not what you want to see. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And enjoy your college football afternoon and evening because it will be a good evening. And all of a sudden now, Penn State has just made a big defensive play and a pick six against Will Howard. How about that? Pick six. And now it's going to be 10-0 Penn State. Although there is a flag on this play, so I'm not sure what exactly it is. But, man, that's a huge play for the Nittany Lions. And as I said about an hour ago, that Will Howard hasn't been the kind of quarterback that we've seen in the past from Ohio State. not that he's made a lot of, you know, turnovers that have killed them. This is one that could kill them. And it was returned for a touchdown, so Penn State has taken a page out of the Pitt book last week with pick sixes. And we'll see what happens here. It's 9-0 pending the extra point as Penn State suddenly is in command of the football game. Although it is early, we still have 5:37 left in this first half of play. But a field goal on their opening drive, Barkley hit it. He's perfect on the year from 29 yards. And now a pick six, point after, and a false start. So we'll find out what goes on. But a pick six is a big deal for Penn State, without question. And it just looked like, from what I glanced up, did you see this, Joe? It looked like a terrible throw more than anything. Like, I don't know what he was doing, Will Howard.
Defender read it all the way for Penn State, and it didn't look like a close pass at all from Howard.
No, he must have never seen him, from what I can tell here. Anyway, Penn State should be up 10-0 here, and Ohio State now will have to dig out from that early game deficit. And the people of Happy Valley are very happy and very loud right now, which is going to make life difficult for, I think, the Buckeyes offense. But this kick is now up and good. So it is 10-0 Penn State, still early in the game, 5:37 left, first quarter. And a pick six on a throw that looked so bad. I don't know how he didn't see him, but he didn't. We got to take a break here. We'll do it as I try to gather my voice because I've been struggling with that, Joel. Can you tell? I'm trying to hide that, but can you tell? Maybe you can tell.
You did a good job, Bob.
It's tough to do it because I'm, every now and then you lose your voice when you talk a lot, and I'm at that stage right now. It has nothing to do with anything else. I feel great. It's just my voice is coming and going. So since it's going, I'm going to take a quick break, put in a lozenger, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion and expand it to include the Steelers, the Penguins, whatever else you want to talk about. And Penn State got another. Mike White of the Post-Gazette just reported that Matt Sieg, a really good quarterback out of Fort Cherry, is now committed to Penn State University. One thing James Franklin can do is he can recruit, and that area up there is a tremendous football atmosphere. There's no denying that. One of the best in the country. If you've ever not seen a game there, you do it. You owe it to yourself to see one there, and just it's all encompassing. And Matt Sieg is headed to Penn State on a commitment to James Franklin. We'll be back with more. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Be sure to join us tonight at 11:35, another Mike Tomlin show, and then tomorrow, 11:35 p.m., it's the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. Ohio State has just scored, immediately responding to their pick six. A beautiful pass there by Howard as he puts it right on the money. So now it's going to be 10-7, and this whole drive started when Quishon Judkins did his thing. He's a really good running back for Ohio State, and they decided to just physically move the ball on the ground, and they did, and that set up this play-action situation. And so now a good response by Ohio State. It's a 10-7 game early in the first quarter still as Penn State looking to beat Ohio State for the first time since 2016. 412-928-9370, that's the number to call. As we continue here talking about not just Ohio State, Penn State, but also Pitt, Steelers, Penguins, whatever you want to talk about is fine by me. That was either blown coverage or just a well-designed play. Joel, did you see that play? Was it one of those that the defender made and may have gambled? I'm not sure.
It looked, if I had to take a guess, probably more like blown coverage, but maybe also at the same time a good play call for Ohio State to exploit something within that Penn State defense.
We talk a lot about play action. Play action will work if you have a really good run game, and they do. And on that drive, it was four straight runs, and then all of a sudden a pass that looked to be wide open. So Ohio State is on the board, and that's a big response for them. They needed to do it after that shaky interception by Will Howard that resulted in a Zion Tracy 31-yard pick six. So it's 10-7, first quarter, still at Happy Valley. In the meantime, we're talking about, you know, what you expect from Pitt tonight against SMU. Quite frankly, I'm surprised this is not a nationally televised game, given the fact you have two ranked teams, 18 and 20 respectively. You would think that it would be on something other than the ACC network, but that's where we are right now with this one. They have some other big games. I know Florida-Georgia play and some others as well. But this is a big one in the ACC. Make no mistake about it. We'll see what happens. Randy Bates' defense has come up big over the last couple of games with 10 sacks in two games, five interceptions last week. You just don't see that in a college football game. Just like you don't see six turnovers and winning. And that's what SMU did on the road. But they have a team that is certainly capable of scoring points, and that's what they like to do. You have two offenses, actually, that are more upscale, move forward, kind of pedal to the metal offenses going in this game. It's exactly what Bell likes to do with the Pitt Panthers when they can do it. But in the last couple of weeks, they haven't had that kind of success, mostly because their defense has put them in a position where they're never on the field. When you get pick sixes, you make it tough on the offense to get rhythm, I suppose. I'm not using that as an excuse, just as a, you know, time of possession kind of situation. You're not on the field all that much, so it does make it difficult to get some flow going on offense. 412-928-9370. Tonight, the Penguins, they will be on, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. And the Penguins are a team that you really have to wonder about their future. You know, they're trying to get into a playoff, give these guys one more opportunity, but you got to get there first. And the last 2 years, they haven't been able to do it. And when you're not going to be able to do it, you have problems, obviously, that go deeper than most, because there are eight teams from the Eastern Conference that can make it. And if you're not one of those eight teams, I don't care about how small a margin you miss, that indicates you have concerns and issues. They have a lot of money tied up and a lot of people. And that's fine until you run out of time to get it done. Like the Chicago Blackhawks, like the Detroit Red Wings, and like the Los Angeles Kings, the Penguins have chosen a path that could lead ultimately to the end of an era. And it's been a great era. No complaints by me. I still look at this globally and say to myself, they got three Stanley Cups out of the Crosby era. That's you're going to be hard-pressed to do more than that. You really are. Has it gone maybe a little too long with their expectations remaining the same? I don't know about that. We'll see. They got to get in. And if they get in, I think in a best of seven, strange things can happen. They have the kind of team that if they play smart and take advantage of special teams can be a factor. I still believe that. I think they've believed that all along. Now, Kyle Dubas is in a situation where he's trying to feed that narrative, but at the same time, he's trying to get younger. They don't have a lot of guys in their system who are younger and making an impact. And that's also the result of trying to win when Jim Rutherford wanted to win. He would mortgage a lot of the future to try to win in the present. And I don't think anyone had a complaint with that. That's what you're going to try to do if you're in that position in most cases. And they won two back-to-back because of it. Everyone knew there was a future down payment to make. Everyone knew that. And now we're heading into that future, it appears. Does that mean that they can't pull it together and get into the playoff? No, they can do that. But at the same time, you're making it more stressful on yourself when you go to a situation where you know that you don't have a lot of wiggle room here. And the Eastern Conference of the NHL is a good conference. And they have teams that are not only younger, but better. I mean, I haven't even mentioned the Florida Panthers in this. And, you know, they started well again at 8-3-1, 17 points. They're defending champs. They have a great mix on that team. Started with good goaltending with Sergei Bobrovsky. Tampa Bay, they've kind of reimagined themselves. What are they going to be? They still could be a factor. I think Toronto's younger and better. The Senators are up and coming. I think the Wings are improving, for sure. So I think when you look at it, in that Atlantic division, there are four teams there that can be, you know, problematic. On the other side, in the Penguins' own division, you have the Rangers, who are off to a 7-2-1 start. They're going to be a factor. They always are. The Devils are younger, I think, better. They've added Markstrom in goal. They're very good. The Hurricanes are 7-2. And they beat the Penguins here pretty handily. Islanders, Flyers, whatever. Penguins got their work cut out for them, no doubt. Even the Capitals are off to a better start at 7-2. And you may not think that these points are that important early. You will at the end of the year. And that's when the problems start to accumulate at the end of the year. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. My apologies for the voice. It's coming and going. So I'm kind of going back and forth trying to figure out how to get through the next 13 minutes of this. But I will tell you that Penn State has the ball back, 4th-and-2. They're going to punt the ball away. So things have changed dramatically there. In case you missed it, Penn State got a field goal on first drive. They drove right down the field. And they scored. They were derailed a little bit by a penalty that forced a field goal. Ohio State stopped them. Ohio State gets the ball right off the bat. Will Howard throws an interception, a pick six for Penn State. Zion Tracy was the man who got that done. Ohio State got the ball right back. And all of a sudden, they decided they're going to run it down their throats, and they did. Quishon Judkins was the man. 50 yards of rushing in his four carries, and that set off a touchdown pass. Play action works. It was Gabriel Owosu who got the touchdown reception from Howard, and so that's where they are, 10-7. And now Ohio State has the ball back, and I would imagine they're going to try to do the same thing. Start with a run and see where it goes and see if Penn State can handle that situation. So this is going to be one of those games. The point spread is only 3.5. It may very well come right down to that. And when you look at the Big Ten Conference, Indiana's another team. And for those of you thinking that Penn State, even with a loss, could be okay, yes, maybe. But also Indiana is undefeated. Indiana's a team from that. If you know, you look at Ohio State and you look at Penn State and what other team? Oregon, now that they're in this conference. This is the problem with this when you're bringing in teams to an already good conference, like USC, even though they're not that great this year, but Oregon, they're at the top. They're number one. They're 5-0. They're going to get in as an automatic. How many spots will there be after that? And if Penn State is one of them, they're going to have to deal with Indiana in that spot. Could there be two? If Iowa State wins today, they're most likely going to be that. If not winner of the conference, going to be the division or the at-large bid. And that would make Indiana and Penn State battling for a second if there is one. I don't even know if that's going to work out in their behalf. We'll see. But, you know, number one issue is you got to take care of business. And winning today would help Penn State immeasurably to do that. If they lose, it's a whole different game. And I would say the same is true of Pitt. If Pitt does lose this game against SMU, they're going to be in some problematic situations. I don't know if you're going to get, if you don't win the ACC and get an at-large, I don't know if you're going to be in a position to get the other one. So that's going to be a problem moving forward. We'll see how it goes. Back to the game, 10-7. Penn State has the lead. Ohio State has the ball. 30 seconds remaining in the first half. Howard, play action again. Hits his running back. Actually, a wide receiver screen is going to get a nice healthy gain of 9 yards. So, Joel, they seem to have figured something out after that first pick six, right?
Sure looks like they had the touchdown, the last drive on a wide open play, and looks like they're driving here to end the first quarter.
And that's where it's going to take us. One more play potentially off as we enter 10 seconds and counting down. Howard at the line of scrimmage at his own 29-yard line with Penn State leading 10-7. Third down and 2. And the clock is going to expire before we get that playoff. So they probably want to think about it. We'll go to a break on that. Actually, they will. I won't. I still have a little bit of time, even though I was hoping we'd get to the break. By the way, coming up, it's going to be First and Pod at 1 o'clock with Andrew Filippone and Patrick Peterson as they look back. And we look ahead a little bit at the schedule. I will say this. There are some very interesting games in the NFL this week. And if you want to try to figure out how this is going to play out, be my guest, because I didn't see the Texans necessarily losing to the Jets after the first half that I saw from the Jets. But they did, and Aaron Rodgers got it together. It was almost last-ditch attempt to try to do something with this with their season, because if they go 2-7, they're done. They probably are done at 3-6. How about Denver at Baltimore? Very interesting game. The Steelers beat Denver. That's a tiebreaker in their pocket. Denver's better. Bo Nix has come on strong. Bo Nix has a quarterback rating of 92 right now, and Off to a slow start. They believe in him. That was what Sean Payton wanted from his quarterback, and he's gotten better. He's run the ball well. He's been a better passer of late. But that's at M&T Bank Stadium. I would expect the Ravens to respond after their loss last week at Cleveland, the way they lost, too. Lamar Jackson, 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. I like the Ravens in that game. Interesting game in Buffalo. The Bills trying to get to 7-2. They take on Miami. It's do or die for them. Some other games that are of interest. Cincinnati's 0-4 at home. How could Cincinnati be 0-4 at home? But they are. So they're 3-5 overall. They take on the Raiders. And while you may think this is an easy game for them, I thought some of the early ones have been easy for them. Not been the case so far. So Cincinnati looks to win and get to 4-5. Cleveland has to win. They got the Chargers. That would help the Steelers if the Browns could beat the Chargers, I would think, because I don't think the Browns are going to be a factor in the AFC North at 2-6. And with, you know, Jameis Winston may be better than Deshaun Watson, but honestly, I do not think that he's the answer there either. I think they would have been better off with Joe Flacco. And then the Commanders, they are next up for the Steelers. They're 6-2 trying to get the 7-2 against the Giants, who are at home, which means they always lose. Let's go back to the lines. We got Mike in Aliquippa. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Bob, I really feel for you with the voice, but actually it reminds me of one of the funniest things that I've seen on air, which is Jim Cott was doing a game of the week on, I can't remember if it was Fox or whoever he was on with, and I can't recall the play-by-play guy, but you could start to tell within one inning that Jim Cott didn't have it that day and that his voice was rapidly going within the broadcast. So you could tell that he was, you know, they were using the cough button extensively and that it was starting to get painful. So I think you could tell that they were trying to do a bunch of different things to get him back to normal. And I remember the play-by-play guy said, okay, we're going to try it again with Jim. And Cott literally got out the following. And it was over. And so they had to go into the bet. They had to go get Johnny Bench, who was, it was a Cincinnati game, and he came in and did the rest of the innings. But hopefully you don't get to that point. But you could just tell that there was no way that you weren't saving Jim Cott that day.
No, and when you get in this situation, there's not much you can do, you know, and you just try to do the best you can. Whenever you get a break, you put a Sucrete in or one of those kind of lozenges and then go from there. So I appreciate you bailing me out a little bit and calling. Do you want to talk more? Because you have an open mic and you can take me a few more minutes if you'd like. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I think that Pitt tonight is, you know, this is a cornerstone game. We need to win it, but we also need, even more importantly, to win the Clemson game. Because at that point, you know, barring, you know, getting pitted in one of the final games against Louisville and Boston College, you know, if we get to the ACC championship game, I think, you know, incredibly, I never thought I'd be saying this last year about this time, we could be a contender for the national championship, which is insane to me.
It is insane. But with 12 teams, though, it opens up the possibilities. You just want to get in one of them to begin with. Just get in and see what happens.
It also reminds you, how many years, you know, I'm 55 years old, how many years of good football, insane football playoff matchups that could have occurred had we gotten rid of the arcane bowl system sooner. And we finally gotten to the point where, you know what, it's about right. 12 teams, the top four get the bye into a major bowl game. It's almost as if we knew what we were talking about 20 years ago on how they could have done it. But it took them 20 years and a lot of football contracts with ESPN and Fox and all the others to make it happen.
Well, like all sports, they make more money when there are more opportunities, and that's exactly what's happened. But Mike, thanks very much. You remember when it was a two-team playoff. You knew going into the season who those two teams most likely were going to be. Even at four, it was difficult to break through that unless you were one of the top teams in your particular conference and looked at nationally as a team that could. Now you have opportunities, and I'm looking forward to it because it leads a lot of money, a lot of great television over the holiday time. I'm very much looking forward to how this is going to work out.
January 1st is going to be fun again. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Thanks for helping me out. I appreciate that, Mike, at 412-928-9370. I want to say thank you to our sponsors at Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, great roof service. If you need a new roof, call Ireland Contracting. And we want to thank Joel Nelson for being behind the glass. He's going to be here for the rest of the day. There's a lot going on today. Pitt Panthers against SMU Mustangs tonight coming at you at 8. Coverage begins at 5. A lot to talk about, a lot to, and by then we'll know the answer to this Penn State-Ohio State situation. Penn State jumped offside on a 3rd-and-2, so they gave a fresh set of downs to Ohio State. Second quarter now, it's Penn State, which built a 10-0 lead, largely on a pick six by Zion Tracy. Ohio State countered with a nice drive, a 25-yard touchdown pass, Will Howard at the end of it. So it's 10-7. Ohio State has the ball again, facing a 3rd-and-11. And that's where I will drop you off of this program. Thank you very much for joining me. I do appreciate it today. We'll see you on Monday on The Joe Show. In the meantime, it's time for Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December the 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Sunny today, high of 60. Clear tonight, low of 30. Tomorrow, 68. Some sun and some clouds, and temperatures back into the 70s by midweek. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you on KDK-TV all this weekend and next Saturday back here. Joel Nelson, thank you very much. Have a great day. Stick around. It's First and Pod up next.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.